It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
2016年之间，中美之间各种问题都能搞得定，因为咱们上边有人，啊，就是我们在美国的权势核心圈。
And so the audience laughs, and that was the voice of Dai Dong Sheng, who's the vice dean of the School of International Relations at Renmin University in China. He was giving a lecture just last week. You heard that clip. He was boasting about how China is controlling the United States, how difficult it was to have control under President Trump. But now they have levers at the highest levels, and that's why people were laughing. He went into great detail. It was a stunning speech. Now, some of us have been watching China pretty closely for several years, and we know this is not that much of a surprise to us. But honestly, at the heart of so much of the upheaval, of the election upheaval, the financial Wall Street behaviors are tied to China. And we're going to talk about that, as we often do, with our favorite expert on China, Gordon Chang. Gordon is the author of The Coming Collapse of China. He's also a Gatestone Institute Distinguished Senior Fellow. Gatestone is one of my favorite outlets for all things international. And Gordon is a great writer with them. He just, by the way, has an article called Espionage Emergency, China Floods America with Spies. And we will talk about that, among other things. And by the way, if you want to find out what Gordon's writing and what he's saying and thinking, you can go on Twitter or Parler and look for @GordonGChang. Gordon G. Chang. Gordon, thanks for joining us this morning. Thanks, as always, for your time.
Well, thank you so much, Sandy.
Now, I want to start with something a little off base, because it's not off base, but you and I haven't talked for a bit. Hong Kong is very close to your heart. Your wife, Lydia, has very close ties there. And we have the news about from Hong Kong has been pretty quiet. I have seen some things lately, but I want to know from you, in the aftermath of all those democracy protesters who so inspired us, what's happened? What's happened with them and what's going on?
Yeah, on June 30, China imposed its national security law on Hong Kong. And that has quieted the protests because it's intimidated people. But we're starting to see people gain their footing, and they're expressing discontent with China in ways like, for instance, singing Glory to Hong Kong, which is the anthem of the protesters. They'll do that, a shopping mall, break out spontaneously. So this is what's occurring. Now, some very important figures in the pro-democracy movement have been arrested, including Jimmy Lai, who is the publisher of Apple Daily, the pro-democracy paper in Hong Kong. They are now charging him under that national security law, which is essentially a life sentence for him because he's 73 now. But people in Hong Kong are starting to protest again, and that's a good sign that China has not been able to silence what really has been an insurgency.
You know, this surprised me because I had heard a different report. I saw a video that purported to be some of these protesters being loaded onto buses and taken away. But you never know when you see something online. You never know if it's true or not. So honestly, by comparison, that's very good news, Gordon. And that encourages me.
Yeah, protesters have been taken away. Those images you talk about, those are real. China is locking up younger protesters, and yet people are taking their place. And that's important because it shows resistance in society. You know, we're not going to see the 1 million-person, 2 million people protest, at least for a little while. But nonetheless, people have made it very clear that they don't like what China is doing. Now, China can sort of quiet the protests for a period, but it can't ultimately prevail because, as I mentioned, this is an insurgency. Insurgencies can melt away in the face of overwhelming power, but they usually don't go away. And so that's what's going to occur in Hong Kong. We're going to be seeing more signs of resistance as time goes on.
You know, that's that to me is like a lesson for us right now in the U.S. Not only the courage of these protesters, especially the young ones, their courage and relentless resistance to Chinese oppression, which is going to be the topic here, because I think that's a kind of a sign of things to come for us, and I want to talk about that. Now, Gordon, I have to say to you that for years I've been on the radio. I started in Chicago on the air, and Bill Gertz used to be a regular guest for me, and it was from Bill that I learned about how the Chinese military had all these documents and plans to overtake the United States militarily in every other way. And at the time, it made no sense. This was like the mid to late 90s, and I thought, why would nice little China, who's making all these wonderful, you know, things that we love to buy, and, you know, I've been there myself several times and good interactions, why would they do that? And so the conclusion was that the military was very separate from the government, and that the government leaders perhaps did not have that same view. What's changed?
Well, what's changed is that as China has grown strong, it's not become benign, as American policy elites told us. This is the engagement theory. Instead, they've become more arrogant, belligerent, hostile, and dangerous. And that Chinese military you talked about is exceedingly dangerous. You know, they're doing a number of things. One of them that Bill Gertz actually has been talking about is that China is developing biological weapons targeting specific ethnic or racial groups. And actually in 2017, the edition of Science Military Strategy, which is an authoritative publication of China's National Defense University, had a topic about specific ethnic genetic attacks. So in connection with COVID-19, the coronavirus, we ought to be concerned what the next disease from China could be, because it could be far more contagious and far more lethal.
We've talked about this, I think, last time. Are you more and more convinced, Gordon? I know a Chinese doctor certainly came out on national television claiming that the COVID-19 was actually unleashed upon the world on purpose. Do you hold that opinion?
Well, yes, I do. And the reason is she was talking about the coronavirus being a biological weapon. That has yet to be proved. But there is something that we know, and that is that Chinese leaders in December and January took steps that they knew would deliberately spread the disease beyond China's borders. They knew that this disease was highly contagious. It was worse than just saying nothing about it, which would have been grossly irresponsible, but they actually tried to convince the world that it was not contagious. And by the way, they used the World Health Organization for that. Also, Chinese leader Xi Jinping pressured countries not to impose travel restrictions and quarantines on arrivals from China when he was imposing those same travel restrictions and quarantines internally. So by pressing countries not to put these measures in place, he knew that he was spreading the disease. So this was a deliberate spread beyond China's borders. This was malicious. This was mass murder. Now, I know that sounds tough, but how can you look at it any other way? The facts are the facts. This is the first time that one nation has attacked all the others in the world.
You know, part of it, I think, is because Western culture can't comprehend that kind of barbarism. You know, we've been sort of peaceful for a long time. We've had wars, but it's not like we've had brutality and inhumane actions of our own people against each other, except rare, you know, criminals. And so I think it's hard to comprehend, Gordon, that a government would actually perpetrate something like that. But you are right. We have to get used to this notion because it is true. And so let's go back to the military, for instance. Now, this kind of blends both things. I want to talk more about their buildup, but I read that they are actually genetically altering their soldiers. Do you know about that?
Yeah, this is John Ratcliffe, the director of national intelligence, talked about China doing this. We know that China has doing genetic research and actually been mixing, for instance, pig and monkey DNA. We also know that a Chinese scientist in Shenzhen actually was altering the human genome to produce babies with certain characteristics. So we shouldn't be surprised that Director Ratcliffe actually talked about this in a military context. because we know the Chinese have been doing this in a civilian research.
Let's talk at least in a general way about what this buildup has been like. These things I know, because they've been able to steal our technology, they have really carried it back and proved it. We know how skilled the Chinese are at making things and how exact. It's just a thing of wonder, really. But they have used this to develop their own weaponry by stealing technology. We know that that started at least back during the Clinton administration, and the Clintons evidently exchanged money doing that. That was a very happy thing for them to do. We also know about the islands that have been developed in the China Sea. Say more about what kind of buildup they're doing, Gordon. Just give us an idea.
Yeah, well, China's building its military. It's always been the world's largest, going back to the founding of the People's Republic in 1949. But now it has the world's largest navy, more ship bottoms and submarines than we do, and they're building fast. And that's an indication that China is going to be aggressive. We know this because nobody threatens China. So what is China trying to do? Chinese troops are deep into Indian-controlled territory now, high in the Himalayas, in Ladakh. There have been Chinese incursions into Bhutan and Nepal, and those look to be permanent. So China is pushing out against its borders. It already is engaging in acts of aggression. So with the military buildup, that's a warning that something dangerous is going to happen.
Yes, I think so, too. I heard just in passing that the tensions between them and Australia are really heating up, too. I don't know much about that. What do you know about that, Gordon?
Well, Australia was one of the first countries, or the first country, to call for an independent investigation into the origins of the coronavirus. And so Beijing has been throwing a hissy fit one right after the other. It is now not buying Australian commodities, which Australia filed a World Trade Organization complaint about that. But China has been saying that Australia is just doing this at the bidding of Washington, which is what they're trying to delegitimize people in Australia who want to defend their republic or their society. This is really a warning to the U.S. and to others that China will just pick on others as a way of getting at the United States and getting at everybody else. So Australia is standing resolute, and we could learn a lot of lessons from Australia on how to deal with China. And we can also learn a lot of lessons from India on how to deal with China, because the Indian political establishment is now actually taking measures that are effective imposing costs on China, much more so than we have been.
Interesting. How about Japan? How are they responding? Because they're age-old enemies, Japan and China. So I know that, how's Japan responding?
Well, Japan has a new prime minister. Shinzo Abe, the previous prime minister, was very resolute with China. The current prime minister, Suga, is more sort of like, I want to get along with these people in Beijing, which is a normal reaction to a new leader to China. All new leaders around the world try to give China a grace period. So we're going to see what's happening. I'm concerned that the business establishment in Tokyo is now driving at Japanese foreign policy. And that's not good, because business will sell out Japan, just like business is trying to sell out the United States. So
Yes, and I want to talk about that. Actually, we're going to take a break here, and when we return, first of all, let's talk about the contents of your article, which says that China is flooding America with spies. You're not the only person writing about that, and people need to understand this is not new, but it's worse. And so we need to understand the extent to which they are infiltrating our country. Gordon Chang is my guest. Again, you can find anything Gordon writes at Gordon G. Chang on Twitter or Parler, at Gordon G. Chang. Also, he is with Gatestone. So if you go to Gatestone, you can find his articles as well. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Christmas from American Family Radio and Sandy Rios in the morning.
Everybody shall be exalted. You wrote a piece for the Wall Street Journal, and you say China is targeting members of Congress with 6 times the frequency of Russia and 12 times the frequency of Iran. What is behind Beijing's aggressive approach?
So they want laws and policies out of the United States that are favorable to China. And what they're really trying to do is, through blackmail, through bribery, through overt and covert influence, trying to make sure that only laws that are favorable to China are passed.
Have you been to Capitol Hill, and have you briefed this threat information to lawmakers?
I was so troubled by what I saw from the position as the Director of National Intelligence that I went and briefed both the House and Senate Intelligence Committees on this information, which they found surprising and troubling.
All right, that was the Director of National Intelligence, John Ratcliffe, who was appointed by President Trump. John has done so much, really and truly, in his short tenure in that position. And he's talking about the infiltration, of course, of communists into communist Chinese into our governmental structures. And we will talk about that in a second. We'll get into Swalwell and all of that. But right now, I want to also talk about what Gordon has written about recently about it's an espionage emergency. China is flooding America with spies. Gordon Chang, again, my guest. Gordon, give us the idea of the scope of this.
Yeah, China's Ministry of State Security has hundreds, probably thousands of agents in the U.S. But we also know that in addition to full-time agents, China has hundreds of thousands of collectors of information. Because Beijing has what's called a thousand grains of sand or mosaic approach. Some people call it the human wave. And that is Beijing interviews returning students, business people, tourists, for little bits of information. That information is then collated. China has artificial intelligence and big data capabilities, and therefore is able, in some cases, to put together a picture of usable intelligence. So we are being overwhelmed. FBI Director Christopher Wray says that almost half of the Bureau's counterintelligence cases are China-related, and that the Bureau opens a China-related intelligence case once every 10 hours. Law enforcement, which is FBI, CIA, all the rest of it, they're just being overwhelmed by China right now. So we have got an emergency. And what I recommend is we start closing the 4 consulates of China, that we cut back the embassy staff to just a few people. We close the Chinese banks and state enterprises in our country, because I don't know how else we deal with this. Remember, China steals, Ratcliffe says, about $500 billion worth of U.S. intellectual property each year. Some people have lower estimates. Some people have higher ones. But the point is, this is a grievous wound on the American economy, which means it's a grievous wound on America.
Boy, it's just frightening. And Gordon, I have a good friend who was an executive at IBM, and she traveled all over the world. And she told me how she was ordered by her bosses at IBM to share all kinds of secrets with their Chinese so-called partners overseas. And she said it was very, even at the time, and this is probably, probably in the 2000s, she said she was so troubled by it. She thought, this doesn't make sense. We should not be telling them these things. So this is not new, is it?
No, it certainly is not. This has gone back. We've had this engagement theory, which dominated thinking in Washington for 5 decades, that as China, as we worked with China, that they would return our gestures of friendship. Well, it doesn't work that way with the totalitarian communist regime. And under Xi Jinping, the current ruler, China is actually going back to a form of totalitarianism. It's moving in that direction very fast. We've got the smartest people in America have come up with the stupidest ideas on how to deal with China. Either that or they've been corrupted. And we Americans have just got to take our country back.
You sound like Sandy Rios. You have no idea how many times in the last few weeks I've talked about how dumb, how stupid our intellectuals are. I can't believe it, Gordon. I'm on so many lists and exchange ideas and work with, and most of the people I work with are solid. Otherwise, I don't have a lot of patience with them. But so many intellectuals on the list that I'm on say the dumbest things. They're so uninformed and so ignorant of what's coming our way. It shocks me. It really does. I want to add to the story about the infiltration of businesses. In fact, there was an article by Miranda Devine, and there has been, as you know, a leaked database of registered members of the Chinese Communist Party who, it's interesting, I'm sure you followed that story, you follow all of these stories, about they have leaked, like they found 2 million members of the Chinese Communist Party who are dispersed around the world officially spying for the Chinese Communist Party. Can you say a word about that leaked list?
Yeah. Earlier this year, someone leaked a list of Communist Party members of 1.95 million of them. And it was very specific because it has names, phone numbers, all sorts of identifying details. And there are a couple of things that emerge from this that people have talked about. One of them is that a number of these Communist Party members work in American and other foreign companies, like, for instance, Pfizer and Boeing. That is really not a revelation because the Communist Party insists on Communist Party cells in large foreign companies. But what was really fascinating was that, and this was a list of Shanghai Party members, that 10 consulates in Shanghai had Communist Party members, including ours. And also in addition were the consulates of Britain and Australia. That's three of the Five Eyes partners. The Five Eyes is the intelligence sharing consortium. We share our most sensitive intelligence, and yet China has penetrated three of the Five Eyes partners' consulates in Shanghai.
Who has not been infiltrated of the Five Eyes?
They didn't mention Canada and they didn't mention New Zealand, but they actually own Canada and New Zealand, so they don't really need to be in the consulate. But the point here is that we should not be employing Chinese nationals in our consulate. Now, China insists that we do. But it seems to me that either we tell them, look, we're only going to have Americans, or we're not going to have a consulate. I know we save a lot of money by employing Chinese nationals, but the risk of catastrophic loss of information is far too high. So I think that we tell the Chinese we're going to just insist on reciprocal relations. And unless we can put Americans in the Chinese embassy and consulates, they're not going to have any in ours.
I read also in this article talking about that leaked list. This really surprised me, Gordon, that there are something like 92 million members of the Chinese Communist Party, but that it's hard to get in. Competition is fierce to get into the Chinese Communist Party. That really surprised me. I thought that everybody, that was kind of hard. If you didn't want to join, I thought you had to join. Not true, huh?
Well, it's first of all, it's different than being a member of the Republican Party or the Democratic Party. This is basically the party state. And you got to be a member of the party if you want to advance in the party state. And that's advancement not only just in the Chinese central government or the provincial governments, but it's also in academia, in business, whatever. You've got to be a party member. Now, I don't know how popular the party is these days, because while people want to be in the party, a lot of people have left the party as well. So there's a story there. But it is very much the path to advancement in China. There's no question about that.
I want to play something interesting. I think you'll find this interesting. You mentioned Canada. Canada's that's where you're from originally, right, Gordon?
No, I'm not. I'm originally from New Jersey, which is now under a lot of snow, by the way.
Sorry to hear that. Well, Canada, you mentioned him. So Justin Trudeau has, of course, been playing footsie with China, and I want to give you an illustration of that. This is clip 5. Let's listen.
Well, here's a story that's hard to believe, but it's real. Canada's Prime Minister Justin Trudeau invited China's People's Liberation Army to send its troops to Canada for special cold weather training at a base in Ontario. That training was canceled after China kidnapped two of Canada's citizens and held them for years. A top aide to the prime minister then complained about the cancellation to the Department of Defense in Canada. Quote, Canada does not want to be the partner that is reducing normal bilateral interactions. In other words, it's immoral for us not to train Chinese soldiers, probably to kill us at some point. Now, that's not the first time Justin Trudeau has sided with the communist government of China. A few years back, he marveled at how the Central Committee managed to keep the trains running on time. Watch.
There's a level of admiration I actually have for China. Because their basic dictatorship is allowing them to actually turn their economy around on a dime.
All right, so that was Justin Trudeau's voice, the premier of China, and then that was Tucker Carlson, of course, talking, introducing it. Gordon, there are so many Chinese nationals in Canada. I know that because my son was there for in Vancouver for 10 years. He was pastor of a Chinese church when he left. So lots of Chinese nationals, and I'm thinking, do you think they have the same plan for Canada that they have for the United States?
Well, they have the same plan for Canada, the United States, and every other country that's not China, and that is Xi Jinping has been dropping hints that he believes in worldwide Chinese rule, the mandate of heaven over Tianxia, or all under heaven. With regard to Canada, the main threat are not the Chinese there. The main threat are white Canadians who have been bought off by Chinese money. The biggest threat, of course, is Justin Trudeau himself. And you were replaying that clip, which came from a revelation by Ezra Levant of Rebel Media.
Yes, right.
Who actually got documents from the Canadian military. So everything that Ezra and Tucker and other people have been saying is based on Canadian documents. And by the way, they failed to actually redact portions of it. So we've seen the most sensitive parts. And Ezra has released them, except for one excerpt, which related to a person, and he didn't want to put that person in jeopardy. But everything else has been released, and it's absolutely verified.
Do you think the people of Canada know that? And do you think the people, besides those that listen to Tucker Carlson, they're not hearing that, are they?
Well, the people in Canada, they in the last election, they voted, and Justin Trudeau's Liberals are a minority but the leading party in Parliament. And there's going to be a general election pretty soon. Now, most people in Canada, from the surveys, don't like Justin Trudeau's China policies. But Trudeau got elected largely because the opposition was so weak. And there are, of course, other issues that are that affected the outcomes. But people in Canada don't like, in general, Trudeau's China policies because they do believe that they're not producing outcomes for Canada.
Well, it's always what's good for China, isn't it? It's what's best for China that they're pursuing, and that's pretty obvious. And it's not good for the rest of the world. I find it fascinating, Gordon, when I try to envision what China has in mind. Do they have in mind planting an army here, forming a government on our land, and subjecting the American people? Is that the plan?
Well, first of all, they do not believe that we should be a republic, that we should be subservient to China. That is this whole notion of mandate of heaven over Tianxia. But, you know, we'll go back to something specific. There are reports that Chu Haoten, who was China's defense minister in the turn of the century, actually gave a secret speech talking about the extermination of the American public so that the Chinese could live in what is America. Now, that speech has not been confirmed, but most people, most analysts believe that it is indeed right, that that's what they intended to do, exterminate the American population with disease so they could take us over. That, of course, goes back to Hitler's notion of living space. We got to understand, you know, you talked about Americans not understanding the concept of evil, and that's true, I think, of people in democracies in general. But we have no idea in general of what the Chinese want to do to us.
No, I don't think so either. But that's how they treat their own people. Like I said, when you have internal internment camps and labor camps, and when you have social scores so that your people have no freedoms, when we see, you know, them locking their own people in their apartments, and it looked like during during the COVID outbreak that they were burning some people in these buildings. When you do that to your own people, there's certainly nothing you wouldn't do to another population. Gordon, I should know this because I have been around the Chinese a lot, and I actually really enjoy I had loved my times in China. There's so much about the Chinese culture and the Chinese people that I love. But I honestly do not know if there is some sort. My impression is that the Chinese feel they are superior to the Western, to Western people. Is that true? Is there some sort of, and we only have 30 seconds here.
They believe they're superior to everybody. And the Communist Party ideology is extremely racist. So yes, they believe they're superior to whites. They believe they're superior to blacks. They have treated black people in China miserably.
Isn't that interesting? And we know what they're doing to the Uyghurs, the Muslim population of China. All right, when we return, I actually want to get to the nut of everything here, Gordon, because I want to talk to you about what you think about China's involvement in getting rid of Donald Trump, in interfering with this election, whether indeed they had some role in this. And that's kind of the nut of this whole discussion for today. Sandy Rios, along with Gordon Chang. By the way, you can get to Gordon on Twitter and also in Parler. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Merry Christmas from American Family Radio and Sandy Rios in the morning. Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
I'm from China.
How long have you been in America?
I've been in America for 10 years.
How do you feel about America?
I love America. We love Trump. I don't like CCP. That's too bad. That's not good for human beings.
What is it Americans don't understand about China and the Chinese Communist Party?
The Chinese Communist Party is now persecuting all the religious people. People have no freedom at all in China. So that's the biggest evil in the world. We have to eliminate all the CCP.
Do you believe that the Chinese Communist Party invested in the Joe Biden campaign?
Yes, of course. Yes, we have a very, very deep connection. That's the evil. And right now, all the Chinese media are covering that Joe Biden is the president now. And they are supporting Joe Biden. They have very secret connections, business all over the world. So now China is very happy because they think Joe Biden is the president. So that's why we have to shout out. We have to stand out. We have to stop the steal.
All right, so you heard what that was, a Chinese American out there fighting for President Trump. So given all the things we've talked about, how involved have the Chinese been in this election? What do they have to stand to gain from a Joe Biden presidency? And what are they afraid of with a Donald Trump presidency? We kind of know the answers to some of those things. But Gordon Chang is my guest. And again, Gordon can be found at Twitter and Parler. And it would be at Gordon G. Chang. That's the part you have to remember, Gordon G. Chang. Gordon, wasn't that clip cool? I don't know if you'd heard that before.
Well, I've heard similar statements like that before. And basically throughout Asia and throughout China, most people, from what we can tell, supported Trump during the campaign because they believed, as they were right, that Trump was standing up for everybody against Beijing. And indeed, as we heard from Di Dongshang, where you started today,
yes.
Beijing is very much in the Biden camp. They were supporting Biden during the Democratic primary over Bernie Sanders. And during the general election campaign, they were supporting him over Trump. And they worked very hard, both with their malicious disinformation campaigns, but also with their troll operations, with their bots, with their social media feeds, the stuff that was below the surface. It was massive, and it was directed to unseating President Trump.
Well, I see their strength in this country at this point, being their infiltration and control of social media. Google seems to do whatever they ask. Facebook, too. It's just amazing, Gordon. It really is. Twitter, too. There must be financial interest there. I've never understood. I've met with Google executives. We've tried to persuade them that the First Amendment should be the pattern for the world and not the Chinese model. Why would Google go the way of the Chinese model and try to cooperate in suppressing information to people worldwide? What's in it for them?
Well, I think that, you know, Google certainly wants to be in China, especially after its anti-communist founders have sort of departed the management scene. And so they are, you know, this is the same story with Disney or NBA or with any number of American businesses. They just don't want to offend China. Also, I think part of it had to do with President Trump. They didn't like President Trump. So whatever Trump did, they were against. You know, Trump was tough on China, so they decided to go soft on China. And, you know, we'll see what they'll do in a Biden presidency as they pivot. But this is obviously an important issue. You know, it goes to Section 230 of the 66 Communications Act. And we're just going to have a long struggle.
Oh, that term sounds familiar. It's a communist term, is it not? The struggle. It's only the struggle. They love struggle. Actually, they love to control people and make their lives miserable. I've never seen anything like it. I've been watching, actually, I'm diverging here. I've been watching a Swedish series, and it's in this series, it's all about the communists coming into Sweden in the 60s, anti-war protesters, and how it changed the culture in Sweden. And it's the same dreadful kind of people, humorless, wicked, no scruples. It's amazing that the communism kind of creates the same kind of people everywhere. Like I would say, Christianity does the same thing. It's really a powerful force. There's no question about it. But Gordon, so the Chinese did support Joe Biden, and we kind of think we know why. But I will ask you: is this because, as the professor Dong Sheng said in his lecture, that we have really close relationships with Hunter Biden? And he actually hinted that China had made Hunter Biden what he is. He's not that he's anything, but have made him wealthy in terms of his connections. So just talk about that for a second.
Yeah, Dee Dung-Shung did talk about Hunter Biden. He also talked about Wall Street, about how China had influence with Wall Street, and therefore in administrations prior to Trump, was able to influence outcomes at the highest levels. And Professor D actually talked about how they were licking their chops, that there was going to be, again, this connection between China, Wall Street, and the White House. Because D actually said that during the Trump era, that China was not able to influence American decisions because people in Wall Street were shut out from councils in the White House. So that's the Chinese mentality that, you know, and Sandy, as we look at it, there are a lot of things that Dee said which may not be right, but the important point here is the mentality of the Chinese elite right now, that they believe that they can do what they want in a Biden presidency. That will lead them to do things that are dangerous, and we could actually see untoward outcomes, especially because if the Chinese do something dangerous, the Russians, the Iranians, the North Koreans might take advantage of that and start crises elsewhere. So we could be facing simultaneous disasters around the world. And that's why I believe Biden's got to take these guys down a notch or two in his first weeks in office. Because if he doesn't do that, if we can't establish deterrence, if the Chinese think that they own us, then we're in for a turbulent period.
Gordon, I can't. I'm sorry to burst your optimism. At least your hint at optimism. I can't imagine Joe Biden having the capability to do that, and I can't imagine a Kamala Harris having the will to do that. So I believe we are in for just really, quite frankly, hell in so many ways. I correct me if I'm wrong, but if Joe Biden prevails, and the Chinese communists reestablish their control in Wall Street, will not American jobs again leave our country, for one thing? Let's talk about that.
Yes, of course. I mean, and I didn't say that Biden would take the Chinese down a notch or two. I said that's what he had to do.
Right.
President Trump believed in decoupling because he believed that the United States needed to be able to manufacture things on its own, that we shouldn't rely on others. And that was a theme of his presidency. Biden is very much, let's go back to the old way of doing things. And what was telling was that on the day after the election, November 4th, big box retailers in the U.S. started placing more and more orders with Chinese suppliers because they realized that in the Biden era that they wouldn't have to worry about the President of the United States taking actions to cut these supply links between China and the United States. So it's happening already, even before Biden takes the oath of office.
And one thing we've all observed is that our media has become just unpalatable in their propaganda and in their silence on issues. And Sean Davis actually probably did a great job of laying this out. Let's stop just a second and listen to what Sean says about America's media companies in China. This is clip three.
Well, I think the most important thing that's been confirmed is that the Biden family is being criminally investigated by federal authorities for a whole host of issues, tax evasion, money laundering, potentially fraud, racketeering. Back in October, when the New York Post and other outlets, including the one I work for, published that, we were suppressed. We were censored. Big tech tried to shut us down. And it's important that we've learned the truth about what's actually going on with Hunter Biden, but we've actually learned a really important lesson about how irreparably corrupt our media is. For the purposes of stealing the election, they censored news they didn't like to favor their preferred candidate, and now they're pretending like it all never happened, like it's somehow news to them that Hunter Biden's under federal investigation. We've known this for weeks. We've known for months because we reported it back in May. That James Biden had been accused of fraud and racketeering, that the FBI had raided the offices of a company in which he's an investor back in January. And yet the corrupt media, for the sole purpose of getting their guy elected, suppressed and censored that information for months. And to me, that's almost as big a crime as whatever Hunter or Jimmy B did. It was James Biden who was involved in these same deals. Tony Bobulinski made clear that when they had their deal with, I think it was CEFC in China, he was taking his 10% or 20%. Now, I don't think James Biden is known as being a super successful international businessman, and certainly nobody will accuse Hunter Biden of that. They were selling the Biden family name to the highest bidder. And that's one thing when the vice president, your dad, and your brother is out of office. But now he's the incoming president, and they made it known to the entire world that the Biden family is for sale. That is a huge problem, especially after we spent 4 years being told that there was a Russian agent in the White House because Trump made a joke about Hillary's emails.
That was Sean Davis, who's the co-founder of Federalist. Two things in that, not only what the future holds with a Biden presidency in terms of its for sale. It's the family is for sale. James is Joe's brother, and of course Hunter is the son, and I think his sister's involved as well, and they've all done very well. And Joe Biden, who claims he knows nothing about the business, I think has 8 beautiful mansions around the country. It's a mystery on a senator's pay how he's done so well. But the other part of that is the media. So Gordon, I guess, the media, I could see, okay, the motivation for them with China would be that what you had said earlier, they hate Trump so much. That they may be doing China's bidding to help get rid of him. But now that he's maybe gone, I hope and pray still that he's not going to be. But if he leaves, then are they not going to have, like, as we would say in America, their knickers in a knot, because they're going to have to continue to carry the water for China? They will not be able to report freely, as if they thought they could go back to doing that.
Well, what we've got is certain media organizations have lost credibility, and they're going to lose more credibility as the FBI and IRS criminal tax investigations go forward. So, Sandy, American society has an ability to right itself, and I think that's what we're going to see, because clearly killing the story during the campaign has also undermined their credibility. And this is going to become clearer and clearer. You know, the IRS criminal tax division, the FBI, and the U.S. Attorney's Office in Delaware are not going to let this go. And there's a money trail. And money always leaves evidence. So we're going to find out a lot about this. So, when Joe Biden told the American people that he had never had a discussion with his son Hunter about Hunter's business dealings with foreign powers, that's just not believable. in addition to whether, even if you don't believe Tony Bobulinski, Joe Biden's words themselves are just not credible.
Patrick Byrne has an interesting article. He calls this election fraud, he says the Chinese Communist Party's assassin's mace, and he says that's something that's been a kind of in Chinese literature for a long time, and the idea is that they would take out the United States with one stroke. Patrick thinks this election is exactly what they meant. Do you agree?
Yes. Well, clearly China is roiling the waters here, as Russia has done as well, but the difference between Russia and China is that China's effort is much larger than Russia's, because China has much more in the way of resources and is in many ways much more malicious than Vladimir Putin. So we have got to understand that China intends to end the U.S. government. It tried to unseat Trump. It actually incited violence on American streets this year. And there is some indication that China will actually organize protesters. This is more than just subversion, Sandy. This is an act of war. Just to give you one example, Radio Free Asia reports that the Chinese military, an intelligence unit of the People's Liberation Army, based themselves in the Houston consulate. And from there, they used big data and artificial intelligence to identify Americans likely to participate in Black Lives Matter and Antifa protests.
Gordon,
and then they sent some videos on how to riot.
Gordon G. Chang on Twitter and Parler. Gordon, thank you. Sandy Rios in the morning.